Very good. What a blessing it is to me that the evangelistic trail has brought us through this beautiful part of the country. And I'm thankful for all the congregations that have visited and been faithful in coming. One of the first revivals I had in the great state of Kentucky, I guess a little over 50 years ago, was Williamstown. Is it Williamstown? I don't know if anybody here remembers that far back or not, but it was one of my first meetings. And I went to school here at Cincinnati. After I graduated back east, I transferred over and went back and forth by here for 2 years, going down to Jamestown as a student, preaching for the Jamestown, Kentucky Christian Church in Russell County. And the Gum Lick people here. Now, what county is Gum Lick in? Let me see. What county is it in?
Pendleton County.
Pendleton County. Now, there's a Gum Lick also down at the edge of Russell and Adair County. And I wonder if that was it, but it's another Gum Lick. Well, I guess there's another Gum Lick in a lot of different places, but my, thank the Lord for His goodness and pray for us. We have to get right on. I'll be preaching this Lord's Day with the New Miami Church up above Hamilton. We've been there several times, preached in Hamilton too, and different ones of the congregations there. Then we have two churches over in Indiana. We have one with Logan Fugit, the cowboy preacher over here at, I forgot the name of the town right now, but anyway, you know where it is over there. And then I have one at, let me say, Buffalo. Does anybody here know where Buffalo, Indiana is? I don't know where it is, but I'm going to find it, Lord willing. Go up there for a revival meeting. It's up in the northwest corner, I believe. Cross Plains is where Logan Fugit is. Then every year we have a meeting over here where Danny James went when he left here. Died over there with the church there at Seaman, Ohio. Have a meeting there every year. And seemed like there's another one or two I can't think of right now. But pray for Gene and myself, especially Gene, as we're going from place to place. And I wondered how she would make out with all of this traveling. You see, it's not just going on a week's meeting and coming back home. It's leaving and maybe not being back home for 6 months. And we're in full-time traveling evangelism. And we go without any charges and we don't discuss that. And if there's a church that has a need, we'll go at our own expense and the Lord's people will take care of it. Not long ago, we were in a meeting in Pennsylvania. And the church had its back against the wall, I found out, and the preacher and his wife had illness, and they had their back against the wall, and this is nothing on us, no big thing for us, but in the name of the Lord Jesus, we turned half of it back to the church and half of it to the preacher and his wife, and almost before we got out of town, the Lord had paid it back. So the Lord has a bigger shovel than we do, and I'm just thankful for His goodness and for His love, and for His graciousness. You might have heard about the man that had a bad heart and won $100,000. I don't know, brother, if you've ever told them that here or not. But he won $100,000, had a bad heart. They were afraid to tell him. The family was scared to death, afraid he'd have a heart attack and fall over dead. Well, finally they got up enough nerve to tell him and started to ease into it, and they got the preacher to go in there, and the preacher finally said, brother, what would you do? And of course the preacher was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And finally he got it out. He said, brother, what would you do if you won $100,000? He said, I'd give half of it to the church. The preacher had a heart attack and fell over dead. So the Lord has a bigger shovel than we do. I want to say how I'm so thankful for my brother and sister down here. I just love them. Brother, did you tell them about going down to the flea market at Dry Ridge that Saturday and buying that talking parrot? Did you tell them that? Did he tell you folks about a talking parrot that he had? Evidently, it was on sale, a talking parrot down here at the flea market at Dry Ridge. And he bought it, and that parrot fell in love with him. You can see how it would fall in love with him. Such a cuddly feller. Just loved him. And sat right up on his shoulder, and everywhere that David went, that parrot just had to go and talk to everybody. Well, one day he had to go over here to Madison, Indiana, and he put the parrot back in the bedroom, and it cut up such a squawk that he had to go back and get him, and sure enough, put him right on his shoulder. Well, when he got over to Madison, Indiana, he went into a McDonald's to get a little hamburger and to get a Coke, and that parrot had to go with him. And somebody saw him going in there with that parrot up on his shoulder and looked at him and said, where did you get that ugly thing? The parrot says, "Squawk, I got him in Dry Ridge." So, all right. Just kidding, grandmother. I had a grandmother that was sent three times to a denominational altar, try to get saved. And she finally obeyed the gospel, found out what the Bible says you have to do to be saved. Back over in Delaware, a strong member of the New Testament church. And she said, when you tell something like that and it's just a story and it's not true, let the people know. So I'm just letting you know right now. There's a passage in 2 Peter. I love all of the epistles. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. But I love this wonderful passage that's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, and it deals with a very powerful subject. And I'd like for all of us to seriously consider this tonight. It's a question, and the question is based on a verse I'm going to read here in just a moment. And the question is, are you sure? The Bible says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So the question is, are you sure? Now back in the book of Acts, the Bible teaches they repented and were immersed, baptized for the remission of sins. And the Bible gives examples of conversion through the book of Acts. Then we go into the epistles, Romans right on through the book of 3 John and Jude, and then into Revelation. But even as God is talking to the Christians, He tells the Christians, He tells the ones that have been baptized for the remission of sins, make your calling and election sure. He tells the ones that are going to prayer meeting, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Someone says you couldn't fall if you want to, but the Bible says different. Let's look at the scripture here and let God speak for Himself and deal with the subject of, are you sure? And I want to go through a test for every one of you, every one of us tonight on that important, important thought. Are you sure? Simon Peter, starting with verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. One thing that the religious right in America has not learned is how to rightly divide the Word of God. They're the religious right, but the religious wrong when it comes to understanding how to rightly divide the Word of God. They don't understand the epistles from Acts, the difference between the Old and the New. They don't understand that we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are Gospels that give us a copy of the life of Christ. Then the book of Acts, which is the only book of conversions. Then the epistles were not written to people to tell them how to be saved, but to help them grow in their salvation. But the Sunday night dandies that preach will take you to the epistles and they'll say what you have to do is just say, I believe, and by grace are you saved through faith, and they leave out Acts, they leave out the plan, they leave out the program. But we must learn how to rightly divide the Word of God. That's what the Bible plainly says. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all that we need. All that we need He's given us. He's given us the avenue of prayer. He's given us the avenue of fellowship. He's given us the avenue of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day to remind us. He's given us all of these things, and we must take advantage of them to be faithful and to be what God would have us to be. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How many of you escaped by the skin of your teeth? How many of you have escaped a life of shame? How many have escaped the wages of sin because of the lifestyle you've taken on? You've given your life to Christ and you've escaped what could have happened. And there's so many out there that need to break loose and escape from the destiny that waits them if they don't change their ways. Besides this, verse 5, giving all diligence, that means being serious. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to people that had been baptized for the remission of sins, people that were meeting around the Lord's table. He says, be serious. Add to your faith virtue. In other words, you've been saved. Your sins have been taken away by the blood of Jesus, but there's things you have to add. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if, a lot of people don't like that word if, but it's in the Bible, and if it's in there, we have to preach it. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's forgotten that he repented, was baptized for the remission of sins. He's forgotten that he used to come around the Lord's table on the Lord's day. The ones that do not do these things, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These things make you that you might abound, but if you've forgotten these things, you are getting away from God's plan and you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. I'll dare say there are names on the church books of this congregation, names of people that have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. There are people, I'll guarantee you, that have sat on these pews that have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. Back in Delaware, my home church, the Ocean View Church of Christ, there are people that used to sit on those seats that have escaped, gone back into the world, and they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. And here the lesson is that we must not forget. Now look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I'm asking you that question tonight. And God, through His Word, is asking you that question tonight. Are you sure? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I love that verse, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And are you sure tonight that you have Bible faith? If you don't have faith, if you don't have it, it's impossible to please God. Someone says, I have faith. How do you know you have faith? I just feel like I have faith. You don't have faith just because you feel like you have faith. You have faith if you have the kind of faith described on the pages of the Word of God. Faith means to believe. It means to trust. It means to overcome temptation. It means to obey. It means to believe in the virgin birth. It means to create and believe in the creation of God. It means to believe that Jesus is coming again. It means to believe in the biblical plan of salvation. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That kind of faith will bring us to the Lord's table. That kind of faith will make givers out of us. That kind of faith will put us on our knees in prayer. That kind of faith will get us into the Bible. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Are you sure tonight that you have Bible faith? The doubt and the skepticism that is in America is amazing to me. We went out to the state park today, something to do with bones and fossils and so forth. I forgot the name of the park. But there are plaques there, and sure enough, they talk about millions and millions and millions of years and all of that foolishness. But they've apparently discovered some fossil remains, and even though they probably didn't want to indicate that they might be played into the hands of God in the account in the book of Genesis, they talked about how that there was a lair where there were vast amounts of animals that were placed into the sediment, and it had to be through a flood. Of course, they try to tie it in with millions of years, but we know where that flood came from. Why can't people just accept the Bible? Every time you turn on the television and these educational stations, if they talk about Moses and the plagues of Egypt, why do they have to cut into them and ridicule it and try to explain it away? I heard one of them one time, they were talking about where it said that the river was turned to blood. there that the Nile River was turned into blood and the water became blood in Egypt. You know what they said? There's a certain time of the year that one of the fish species in the Nile River secretes some kind of a little reddish type of fluid from some kind of a sore on the body, and it looked like blood. I'm telling you, friends, if God says it's blood, it's blood. If God says it's up, it's up. If God said it, that settles it. I believe it with all of my heart. And faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are you sure you have Bible faith? If you don't have enough faith to take you to the Lord's table, you don't have enough faith to take you to heaven. If you don't have enough faith to convert that book in your back pocket, that pocketbook, then you don't have enough faith to take you to heaven. This book right here, if you follow it, it'll take you to heaven. But if you're not careful, this book right here will take you to hell. God doesn't need a cent you have. God doesn't need a cent I have. But we need to give. We need to learn to sacrifice. And it's all wrapped up in faith. And are you sure that you have Bible faith? Shake hands with somebody homelier than Brother David, your preacher, while I get a drink of water. Brother, nobody's shaking anybody's hand. You know, I pulled that on Tom Postal one time up in Ohio. He'd just gotten married to a lady that was a wonderful lady, fine, lively Christian lady. And I said, trying to pull a little joke on Tom to get a little laugh out of him, I said, anybody here shake hands with somebody homelier than Tom Postal while I get a drink of water? And she got up, came right up, shook my hand, just took the story, took the thing right out of it. Sometimes somebody will rob you of your punchline, like you said I did a while ago. Are you sure? Are you sure that you have? You know, we're having a good time here tonight. All of us are having a good time, and I just thank God, no matter what your background is, where you came from, we can have a good time. I heard that there was a lady that married four husbands. First of all, she married a banker, and then she married an actor, and she married a preacher, and she married an undertaker. Somebody said, how come you to marry such a variety of people? You married a banker, and an actor, and a preacher, and an undertaker? She said, I married one for the money, and two for the show, and three to get ready, and four to go. I tell you, that's the kind of lifestyle that'll get you to the wrong place. That's not a faith lifestyle. You can come out of that lifestyle and put your trust in God. Are you sure that you have Bible faith? Now, number two. The Bible says something here in the book of Luke. I could just mention Luke 13:3, and I'm confident that your preacher could quote it word for word, but listen to this. I tell you no or nay, this is what Jesus said, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, in Luke 13:3, repeated in Luke 13:5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I believe some of the churches of Christ have forgotten what repentance is all about. I believe we have people in the pews that don't know the meaning of repentance when it comes to comparing their lifestyle with the lifestyle of the Bible. It's not just enough to say, I believe, but we must repent. There has to be a turn. There has to be a change. There has to be a alteration of life. Repentance means to recognize your sin, be sorry for your sin, and turn from your sin. And the Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Oh, it's not enough just to say, I believe, we must repent. It's not enough to say, I accept Jesus. We must repent. We must turn around. We must change our lifestyle. We must give up our bad habits. We must give up our cursing and our profanity and telling of those bad jokes. We need to make a change, a turnaround, a repentance. And I believe we need to have an old-fashioned revival emphasizing repentance in the church, out of the church, all of us, from the pulpit to the back door. Are you sure? Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Are you sure that you've repented and you're living a life of commitment and repentance? Then in Matthew chapter 10 verse 32, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Have you confessed your faith in Jesus Christ? It's not just enough to say, I believe, but do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not that he is a Christ, the Christ. Not that he is a son, but the son. Not of a God, but the God. You see, America is getting into the a God business. It's God and it's Islam and people from high places as high as you can get, talk about what a good religion Islam is. Well, when offshoots of it will decapitate an American reporter, and when they're killing people and the sword and they have no patience, no love, I tell you, I don't want to see my God compared with a God like that. Mohammed never rose from the grave. Mohammed never walked on the water. Mohammed is not coming back after his people. And so when we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm thankful that a name of the Lord Jesus is the name which is above every name. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the rose of Sharon to botany. And to geology, he's the rock of ages. To food, he's the bread of life. He's the water of life. He's everything, Alpha and Omega. And we confess that. Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Are you sure that you've confessed and are confessing Christ? I read in the book of Mark where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Someone says, now preacher, I believe you're fixing to quit preaching and I believe you're going to start meddling, going to start stepping on toes. I remember when I went to college back in New Jersey, a strong New Testament preacher out of Pennsylvania that started the school to raise preachers in the East. He said he believed that as the cross was the stumbling block in the first century, baptism for some reason has become the stumbling block today. Because people on the religious right can't even bring up baptism without ridiculing baptism. People named after it don't even believe in its essentiality. So are you sure? Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Are you sure you've been baptized? The Bible way. Well, we can compare biblical baptism with your baptism and my baptism. The Bible teaches in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts that there was a man that had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back to Ethiopia riding in a chariot. And the Lord sent a preacher to preach to him, and he got up in the chariot, and he preached unto him Jesus. The Bible says as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and he said, here's water, why can't I be baptized? He said, if you believe, you may. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. The Bible says in Romans 6:4 were buried. Colossians 2:12 were buried. John 3:23, John was baptizing at Enam, for there was much water there. They went down into the water, came up out of the water, and he went on his way rejoicing. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, we have the account of a man that was a praying man, but he wasn't a Christian. A man that gave, but he wasn't a Christian. He lacked being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So are you sure? Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Are you sure you've been baptized the Bible way? That means to believe in Christ and repent of your sins and confess Him and to be immersed down into the water for the remission of sins. Not because you've been saved, but in order to be saved through the application of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as an outward work of an inward grace, but for the remission of sins. In Acts 22:16, the Bible teaches that Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So it is a burial in water by the authority of Jesus in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you sure that you've been baptized the Bible way? Except a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom, is what Jesus said. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, then finally tonight, are you sure? Peter said, give diligence to make your calling an election sure? Are you sure you're living a Christian life? The Bible says, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. 1 Corinthians 15:58, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding into the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Peter said, church, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If you lack these things, you're blind and you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. I had an embarrassment down in Carbon, Kentucky, where my wife's from. I think she knows about this. Many, many years ago, I preached at the opening of a camp meeting down there in Carbon. It was held, a tent was put up on Lloyd Masters' farm, and I preached there. And I'd started preaching revivals. I believe I'd already preached on both sides of the Mississippi River. But I'm telling you, in the quietness of the night, and when I contemplated Acts 2:38, I had a problem. I couldn't remember any repentance. I know that we're not going to understand everything, but I just couldn't help but feel surely I should have known something about repentance. I went down that aisle. It was the year Pearl Harbor was bombed. A D8 bulldozer could not have held me back. Mom, Dad, neither one knew I was going. I knew I had to be baptized for the remission of my sins. But it bothered me later. As I became an older gentleman, it says repent and be baptized. My wife was there at the camp meeting, and my sister was not married at that time. She was there, and we were headed back to the Cumberland Falls State Park where we were staying in a tent. And I told them how miserable I was. I just heard Johnny Hall, the auctioneer preacher out of Watauga, Tennessee, preach on Acts 2:38. And I went back, turned the car around, approaching midnight, and I found him there at 17th Street Church in Carbon. Told him my situation. My wife said, in that big church in Indiana where I was raised, the kids at the age of 12 on Easter Sunday came forward and got baptized and were given a flower. Well, that might be beautiful, but I don't believe that's how it's done. And she said, I'm not satisfied. My sister was miserable. She said, another little girl sitting with me said, I'll go up if you'll go up. And she said she was miserable, wasn't satisfied. So I talked to Johnny, that old pioneer preacher from Watauga, Tennessee. And he said, Ray, I'd be baptized in answer of a good conscience.
That's right.
And so I was baptized. I was sorry I didn't fully, of course we're not going to fully understand, but I was convicted that I should have understood something about repentance. And almost midnight, Johnny baptized me. And I turned around and baptized Gyneth, my wife, and baptized my sister. My friends, tonight as we sing our hymn of invitation, are you sure you have Bible faith? Are you sure you've repented, confessed your faith in Christ? And are you sure you've been baptized the Bible way? I've baptized preachers and elders. I have a clipping of a newspaper. I saw it when we were packing up to sell our little double wide back in Delaware, of a man in a rest home that I baptized when we were over there organizing churches, 102 years old.
Amen.
I've never heard of anybody being baptized at 102. That might be a record, I don't know. But that's a long time to wait.
It is.
Don't you wait till you're 102. And so now is a time for us to analyze and look at our souls and ask ourselves a question, are you sure? Now, I don't want to put any doubt in anybody's mind that has truly obeyed the gospel. If you repented, you were baptized for the remission of sins, you're all right. You need to pray to God. If you lack some repentance in your life, you can repent right up here, right on the way home or at home. You can get your life straightened around like God would have it to be. But if there's any doubt about these serious, serious points, Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Are you sure? God bless your hearts as we stand and sing here tonight.